is nice, isn't it? You know what I'm saying?
He will be teaching 2 weeks of seminar over there. Now, he is risking his life to do that, because if they find out that he is teaching Christian information or Christian doctrine, they would attempt to do him harm. Let the children be excluded. So be praying for Michael. He leaves in the morning. He will spend 2 weeks teaching in India, and then he'll be coming back again. Remember him as the Lord brings him to your mind, because he really does. He many times risks his life to go there or go to China and teach the pastors. And so that's the ministry that he's in. Okay, if you will, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is a story that you're very familiar with, but we're going to look at it again from a little bit of a different perspective. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is the story of David and Goliath. But we want to look at some different parts of it. We want to start at verse 13. And verse 13 reads, "And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said to David his son, 'Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge.'" You see, they had to take care of the commander of the three sons, because he might give them special treatment. And so that's why David's father sent 7 cheeses. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. Notice that David took care of his responsibility before he left. He found a keeper for the sheep. And he took and went, and as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as a host was going forth to the battle, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran unto the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath. Remember that the spies sent out by Moses had been frightened by the giants of Gath when they were coming out of Egypt. Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. Now, I'm going to pause right there. Now, if you remember, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, they sent spies out, and the spies went to Gath, and they saw the giants in Gath, and they said, "We can't overcome these people. They'll just, beat us to smithereens." And so this is where Saul and his men were fighting. They were fighting there at Gath. It's a plain, it's actually a plain between two mountain ranges. And that's the place where the giant Goliath was challenging Israel. And Israel was on the mount, on one mountain range. The Philippians were on the other mountain range, and they were going to meet in the valley in between. I want to be sure that you understand that there were certain things that took place the time of David's challenging Goliath. They were normal occurrences that the devil usually uses to deter us from doing what God wants us to do. And all of us are going to experience some of these things as individuals, as you live your life. And I want you to recognize them for what they really are, hindrances of the devil. The devil is out to hinder you one way or another. He is not our friend. He is real. He is powerful. He's much more powerful than we are, not as powerful as Jesus Christ. But he is able to discourage us, and he recognizes our soft spots, our places where we have weaknesses. And in the near future, most of you are probably going to be challenged to do something special for the Lord. I hope you will be. I hope as a church, we're getting ready to start really doing something for the Lord. We're slimming down, getting rid of some of the obligations and burdens that we had to take care of the property. Now we can concentrate on doing what God wants us to do as individuals. And so I hope you realize that this is going to happen. And so now let's go back to our story again of David, 1 Samuel 17 at verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, Goliath, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have ye seen this man?" They're talking to David now. "Have you seen this man that come up? Surely to defy Israel has he come up. And it shall be that the men who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" Now, David was young, like we all were at one time, okay? When we are young, we think we are invincible. We think we can do a lot of different things, and for some of us, as we get a little older, we missed out on doing some of those things because we found out they were not practical or realistic. That's where David is at right now. "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that they should defy, that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now, David understood what the relationship with Israel was, just like we understand what our relationship is with God and this nation. "Then the people answered him after this manner, saying, 'So shall it be done to the man that killeth him.' And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, 'Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?'" Now his older brother's worrying about the sheep that he made arrangements for. He made arrangements before he came down. "I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I done?" And then the title I've given to this message, "Is there not a cause?" Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to stand up for God? Is there not a cause to stand up against a giant? a huge obstacle standing between him and God. Now, why did David's brother get angry? Well, I think it was for the same reason you and I get angry sometimes. I like the Sunday school lesson that we're working on right now. All of the men of Israel were following the example set by the spies from Egypt. They were afraid. They were ashamed. Ashamed to be afraid of a giant. And here comes this young kid. Can you see this? You know, youngest brother shows up and he's ready to kill the giant. And so someone went and explained to King Saul what was going on. That brings us down to verse 30. And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after this former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. Maybe I got somebody here who can win this battle for me. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, for thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. You've got the entire army of Israel scared to death, shivering in their boots. And this little lad or young lad comes in and says, oh, I can kill that guy, giant. I'm not afraid of him. And you think there's not going to be a little resentment? Verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote, and slew him. You get the picture? A lion attacks David, and he grabs the lion by the beard under his chin and slew him. I don't know if you've ever heard about him, Ricky, but there's a group of men up in Greenville that hunt wild hogs with knives. Yeah, they don't use guns. They use knives. So David goes on. Verse 36. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said moreover, the Lord that delivereth me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with ye. What a brave king. He's going to send a lad out after this giant. Now, folks, God is going to cause us to be challenged by things that appear to be a giant to us. Something much bigger than we are, something we cannot overcome. And yet, David knew where his strength was going to come from. It was going to come from God. David was not afraid. I don't know about you, but there are certain issues that I am a little fearful about. When God says, I want you to do this, I said, God, that's a big job. I can't do that. And yet that's what he wants. And that's what he wants from us as a church family. He wants us to challenge and to take on the world that he has put us in. We are in a place right now, a very prominent place. We're on Dorchester Road, one of the main roads in the North Charleston area. We are at Ashley Phosphate, again, one of the more dangerous roads in the area. And we're not here by accident, just as David was not there by accident. His father sent him at a particular time, and God orchestrated that time. God said, I want David there to show everybody what a man can do with the power of God upon him. And so David did. Now, actually, the way things were set up at that time, you know who was supposed to go out and challenge that giant? King Saul. Yeah. King Saul was supposed, the leader was supposed to go challenge, and he didn't. Besides being the customer of the day, Saul was the largest man there. Remember, he stood head and shoulders above everybody else. He was a big guy. So if we ever get a giant in here, Michael's ready to take him on. At least I hope he is. And it was a custom in those days that the two armies would meet and that they would both send their champion to battle each other. And that way, a lot of men wouldn't get killed unnecessarily. These two would fight it out, and whoever was the victor, that was the victorious army, and the other army would flee. That was the way they handled it. So that's what the giant was proposing. And can you imagine how disappointed he must have been when he saw a boy sent out to him? Every member of the Israelite army knew that he could not defeat that giant. What kind of an idol was the boy, or what kind of an idiot was that boy David who would go out and challenge the giant? He was too young not to know that he was not going to be the one doing the fighting. Or did he? When you go to battle for the Lord, who is really doing the fighting? I hope when you go in the strength of God, not your own strength. So many times we go forward to take on some project or some challenge, and we think, well, I can do this or I can do that. And so we go ahead, but we can't. We have to go in the power of God. And that requires us to go in faith. We're supposed to walk by faith, not by head knowledge and thinking that we can accomplish things that we can't accomplish. David knew that God was the one who was going to do the fighting, because God is the one who helped him defeat the lion and the bear. Look at the next passage of Scripture, 1 Samuel 17:42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. And he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come unto me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. He was going to tear him limb from limb, and he was big enough to do it. Then said David unto the Philistine, and listen to what he said. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And this day will the Lord deliver thee unto mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head off thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you unto our hands. Now that was quite a challenge. It was quite something for him to say. And here's the thing. If you know this book, if you love this book, if you know this book, if you read this book, if you believe this book, any battle you fight will be based upon what is written in this book. And any battle you fight will be for the Lord, not for yourself. When we fight for ourselves, we lose. And so David told the Philistine, all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Now, do you think there was any doubt in David's mind at this point? I don't think so either. Do you think David knew who was in control? I don't think he was looking at himself. David was an overcomer because he trusted in the Lord. He was working. He knew that the Lord was working through him. Folks, everybody sitting in this auditorium this morning, the Lord has something for you to do. Everybody sitting here. And it's important enough that if you will do it, we will see some overcoming of the world around us. We will see some people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. David did not place his confidence in himself or his abilities. He knew he was good. He had total trust in the Lord to meet all of his needs. And he was truly walking by faith. Now, each of you will be challenged to do the same kind of a thing in some way in these next few weeks. Yeah, every one of you will be challenged in these next few weeks to do something that you can't do. Then you'll know it's of the Lord. He's not going to ask you to do something he thinks you think you can do. He didn't ask David to do that. He asked him to do something that he knew he couldn't do. He had to have the Lord. The Lord's going to present to you a challenge for his glory. And I want you to realize that this morning. That's why we're looking at this story. It's not just a story. This actually happened. We're talking about it almost 3,000 years later. Think about that. Here's the thing. You're going to experience the same obstacles that David did. We want to look at those for just a minute. They may be in a little different forms, but they're going to be there. The devil doesn't want you to be successful for the Lord. As you sit here this morning, that's the one thing you can bank on, one thing you can count on. The devil does not want you to be successful for the Lord. Because if you are successful for the Lord, the devil has to lose. People close to you are going to tell you why you can't do the task that God's going to ask you to do. They're going to tell you why you can't do it. Just like David's big brother, Eliab, told him why he shouldn't be there. The people who tell you that you can't do it may even be people who love you. People that are friends or family. And they're going to be the ones who oppose you and not want you to accomplish what God wants accomplished. They're going to be trying to look out for your well-being. But they don't have the same relationship to God as you have. They may be have an inferior motive for trying to discourage you that you know nothing about. Just like David's older brother. Godly counsel is good. But you need to know that it is God who is counseling you, not somebody else, somebody who's not godly. Someone may try to help you, like King Saul did with David. Remember what he did? He said, here, put on my armor. I'm not going out and facing that giant. Here, you wear my armor and go out and face him. And David couldn't even move. And so David did the smart thing. He took it off. He said, well, I haven't tested this. I don't know. And he went forth without it because he didn't need it. He didn't want it. Equipment that would have stopped David being able to accomplish what God gave him to do. And folks, we don't need stuff to serve God. We don't. We can serve him with what we have. And he wants us to do exactly that. He wants us not to be afraid. David wasn't afraid. David wouldn't have been out there if he was afraid. And you don't have to be afraid either. When God puts a task in front of you, hey, go talk to this person, go talk to this neighbor, go witness to this person. We're going to get into soul winning starting tonight. We're going to spend 2 or 3 nights at that on Sunday nights. Because not how to do, but why to do. And that's so important, to know why we are doing something. During the Vietnam battle, they don't want to call it a war. One of the things that I realized during that time, I was in the military at that time, we didn't know why we were there. You know that? Our men didn't know why. They knew what they were supposed to do, but they didn't understand the why. And so that's why when they came back from the Vietnam, I call it a war, they were not well received in this country because they did not fulfill a purpose. And everyone sitting in this auditorium this morning has a purpose for being here. If you're breathing and your heart is beating, you have a purpose. When you don't have a purpose, God has no need for you any longer. But the fact that He is still maintaining your life, you do have a purpose. And He wants you to fulfill it. We are supposed to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And if we will be that, God will use us to accomplish His will. I really do want you to be careful about one thing. Don't depend upon your own intellect to equip yourself with extra stuff you won't need to accomplish the job. There are those who think they have to go back to school and learn this or learn that, and you don't have to do that. You've already got everything God needs for you to have to accomplish what He wants you to accomplish. When David needed something to cut off the giant's head, he didn't have a stone sword, did he? And yet God provided exactly what he needed. The giant's own sword. And he didn't use it at just that one time. You remember when he was running from Saul for his life? And he had no sword. He went to the temple, and the sword was stored in Goliath was stored in the temple. And once again, it was of service to him. God provided what he needed, and he will always do that. I am sure that Goliath did not start out that morning thinking to himself that he needed to be sure and take his sword so that his enemy would have something to use to cut off his own head. I believe that we are moving into a time when God is going to provide opportunities for each one of us to glorify Him with our deeds and with our lives. I don't know who it's going to be. He's going to ask you to talk to. We need to be ready to respond in a way that will bring glory to God and leave no room for doubt as to who it really was that accomplished the thing He gives us to do. Let me ask you, we are living in some difficult times right now. There are things that are very uncomfortable going on within our government, within our society. There are movements, there's a cancel culture, there's the just all kinds of stuff going on. Is there not a cause for you and I to become overcomers? Isn't there a cause? Let's be overcomers for the Lord. Father, we do want to serve You. We want to be what You would have us to be. Knowing, Father, that we are nothing. You are everything. You will do the accomplishing. May we be available to You to do what it is You want us to do. Call us, Father. Guide us. Use us. And we will praise You for all that You do. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.